first reading is from the 38th chapter of Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted with joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, and holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to the children. Open wide your hearts also. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Gospel for this day comes into our midst, as does Christ, in the words and witness of the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter. Now when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Beloved, grace to you and peace from our living God, who was, who is coming again, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is a weird gospel. It feels, at first blush at least, to be a story about Jesus sleeping on the job. The disciples get in the boat with him, which to go to the other side, which in Mark's gospel kind of has the sense that they are moving into territory that is unknown to them, territory in which they are strangers and may even be seen as outsiders, territory that may be hostile to them. But they are in the boat, the wind comes up, the boat gets buffeted, and the best Jesus can do is sleep through it? Is that what Mark means when he says they took Jesus with him just as he was, dog tired, bone weary? And it kind of makes sense. We are so early yet in Jesus' public ministry in this gospel. And let's see what he's been up to. He's been teaching and preaching and healing. He's been casting out demons. Already, he's been accused of being beside himself, which is a euphemism for crazy. He's been accused of being a demon himself. The crowds have buffeted him, perhaps just like that boat on the sea is buffeted now. So, this Jesus who was on the boat just as he was, how was he really? Maybe he is so bone tired that he cannot remain awake. Maybe he is a little cranky because everywhere they go, people seem to want something from him. Maybe he simply needs a day or two away in peace. This past Monday marked an anniversary, and perhaps some of you noted it. I hope you did. It was a horrible anniversary that I think, particularly as Lutherans, we need to remember with all seriousness and sobriety. Monday was the Memorial Day for the Emmanuel Nine. The ninth anniversary, in fact, of the night when a young man who was raised as an ELCA Lutheran entered into a Bible study in South Carolina at the Mother Emmanuel Church. He received their welcome and their hospitality. He studied scripture alongside of them. And then with an inexplicable, palpable hatred that I pray none of us ever experience, he returned their grace by slaughtering his siblings in Christ. Then and now, maybe Jesus is just tired. Tired of the kind of trouble that fueled that young man's soul. But then I have to wonder, dear God, wasn't Jesus aware? Didn't he know all along about the kind of systemic racism and insidious racial divide and the growing animosity that seems to continually, increasingly infect the soul of our country? Don't you think that Jesus might have been a little more alert to the fact that his beloved children were gathering in Bible study precisely because they loved him? Couldn't he have stayed awake for them, with them? Or was he sleeping because he was just so darn tired? Tired of the violence. Tired of the hatred. Tired of the racism. Tired of the killing. Maybe he was asleep because, as we all know, sometimes it is only in sleep that we can escape the horror for a while. Or maybe Mark has another reason in mind by telling us that the disciples took Jesus out onto the lake, traveling into those easily whipped up waters on course to a territory unknown, just as he was. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me in this. In Scripture, we oftentimes find that the notion of falling asleep really gets used as a euphemism for being dead. Next week's gospel out of Mark will be the story of Jairus, the ruler who comes to Jesus because his daughter is near death, and Jesus goes with him, and by the time they arrive back at home, the crowd is wailing because the daughter has died. And Jesus says, "Why are you weeping? She's not dead. She's asleep." No, the child is dead. Jesus will raise her, but the child is dead. And if you remember John's gospel and the story of Lazarus, Lazarus falls ill, and Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep. And when the disciples are confused about that, "Well, if he's asleep, he'll be fine," Jesus clarifies, "Oh no, Lazarus is dead." Those are just a couple of examples that came to my mind pretty easily. I suspect you might think of others. But oftentimes in Scripture, someone who is asleep is dead. So, maybe the Jesus who accompanied the disciples in the boat, just as he was, maybe the Jesus who was sleeping in the boat, who Mark tells us is asleep? Maybe that's about more than a doggone tired Jesus. Maybe it's about something else entirely. I wonder if Mark isn't really telling us a resurrection story here. The one who was asleep has been wakened. The one who was dead is alive. If you read Mark's gospel, you'll notice that there really is not a nice, neat ending to the resurrection story. There aren't any post-resurrection appearances. Now, somebody came along and said, you know, this doesn't end. You can't really tie this up with a bow very well. So let me write a second ending that neatens stuff up. But Mark genuinely seemed to be more at ease with the ambiguity of an unseen risen Christ. And maybe that's the point. If the disciples then and now are going to experience a risen Christ, a resurrected Christ, it's not going to be in some climactic moment at the end of the story. It's going to be as their story unfolds, as their lives unfold. Christ will be with them in the boat, asleep, as they head off into hostile territories and are buffeted by the wind. And Christ will be with them in the storm, awakened. Christ will be with them in their fear of perishing. And Christ will lead them to the rising. Christ is with us in the chaos, whatever form it takes. Wherever, whenever we find ourselves crucified or dying, that's where Jesus is. And Jesus will be there throughout until the storms cease or until he himself calms them. Nine years ago, Jesus was in South Carolina, gathered around a table laden with Bibles and surrounded by faithful saints on a grisly night. He's in Ukraine now. He is in Israel and Gaza now. He is in Congo and Sudan. He is in classrooms, grocery stores, and bowling alleys and bars. Wherever violence erupts and fear grips God's beloved. For wherever people are perishing, Jesus is there just as he is, dying and rising. Those disciples took Jesus in the boat with them just as he was. And that's how Jesus accompanies us, just as he is. The crucified one who has entered into everything that we fear, and the risen one against whom no power, no threat, no disaster, no death can can stand. This gospel certainly is not about Jesus sleeping on the job. It is about a Jesus who has entered into the chaos, the terror, the whirlwind of death, and whose cross is planted there. It is about a gospel that gives us a glimpse and the promise that whatever comes, our crucified and risen Christ is in the midst of it all, for us and for all creation. Amen.